All right, hold on a second. All right, so let's begin. So we left off Kuf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph. So today's daf is Kuf Tes Zayin. We're going to start on Kuf Tes Zayin. So the Gemara says the following. Afal pi she'in charoses mitzvah. So if you remember again, so the Mishnah said that we go ahead and we bring the charoses to the table, even though charoses is not a mitzvah. So the Gemara says, well, one second. V'i lo mitzvah mishum mai maisilo. So if that's the case, that charoses is not a mitzvah, so then why do we have it on the table at all? So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Ami mishum kafa. So it also, as we pointed out yesterday, Rabbi Ami said, because of kafa, because of the, we call it the aras, the poison that's within, that is within the chasa, within the lettuce itself, this negative component, and therefore apparently the charoses, we saw yesterday whether, again, it is the charoses itself or it's the aroma of the charoses that neutralizes it. Amar Rav Asi, so now that the Gemara spoke about the kafa, this negative aras that's within the chasa, the Gemara talks about another couple of examples of that. So Amar Rav Asi, kafa de chasa chama. Literally, if one is eating chasa, which we're translating as lettuce, and one has the kafa, how do you offset the effects of the chasa? So again, this is assuming you don't have charosis. A person doesn't always have charosis around. The only time you're going to have charosis, of course, is on Pesach. But what does one do? If one does not have access to charoses, chama, so one goes and eats a radish. Kapa de chama, but again, radish itself also has its own type of kapa, so what do you do for that? Karsi, leeks are good for the radish. Kapa de karsi, I'm just reading the brackets. Again, the leeks themselves also apparently have this kapa, this negative type of aras. What do you do for that? Chamimi, apparently hot water is beneficial for that, and the Gemara says, kapa de kulu chamimi. In reality, all things that have a kafa, all things that have this aras, this type of, again, I'm using the word poison very lightly, because the Gemara is not suggesting a person is going to die from it. It's just detrimental. So what offsets all of these things is chamimi, is ultimately hot water. Kuf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph, about 7 lines down from the top. Adahachi vahachi, but while you're waiting to get your hot water, here's what you should say. Neima hachi. Kafa kafa, oh kafa kafa, right? You aras, you poison. Dachir nalacha, I know you. Uleshev b'naseich and your 7 daughters. Uletamni kalaseich and your eight daughters-in-law. Also, what's interesting about this is it could very well be that what the Gemara is saying over here is that this is the amount of time that it takes ultimately for the aras to actually begin to affect an individual. So what it's saying is make sure you get whatever you need to get. Make sure whatever hot water or radish or leek, whatever it is you're getting to offset the kapha, try to get it within this amount of time. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadok, Omer Mitzvah. Rabbi Elazar of Tzedek says, no, that actually charoses is a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to have it. My mitzvah. So what does it mean that it's a mitzvah? Rabbi Levi says, zechar letapuach. It's a remembrance to the apple. Now, what does that mean? Take a look at the Rashbam, Rabbi Osai. Zechar letapuach. B'meseches sota. Shahayu yoldos sham b'nehem below etzev. Shelo yakiru behen mitzriyim. So the Yoram Sechasota that says that the women used to go out into the fields to give birth, so that the Egyptians should not know about their babies, and specifically they used to go out under the apple trees, and therefore again, so the apple reminds us of the strength of the Jewish people to continue to build families, even in the face of such incredible persecution. So therefore, the charoses, for which one of the prime ingredients is apples, is a reminder of the tapuach. Rabbi Yochanan says, zecher letit. No, the whole essence of the charoses is to remind us of the mortar with which our ancestors built the bricks in Egypt. Amar Abayi, Abayi says, the truth is, you're both right. Therefore, hilchach likihuyeh, therefore, you should go out and you should make the charoses tart, and you should make the charoses thick. You should make it tart, just like an apple, to remind you of the apple trees under which the Jewish women gave birth. And you have to make it thick, to ultimately remind us of the mortar. Tanya Kavasi Rabbi Yochanan. We have a brisa that supports Rabbi Yochanan. Tavlin Zecher Leteven, that the ingredients of the charoses are to remind us of the straw. But if you take a look at the Rashbam over here, the Rashbam says Tavlin Bisamim Shematilin Becharoses Zecher Leteven, that some of the ingredients that we put into the charoses are to remind us of the straw. Shekotshin bo hadak zecher letit. It's interestingly enough, because just like you would break up the straw in order to go ahead and make it into mortar to be used ultimately for the bricks, so the ingredients of the charoses are also pounded just like the straw. So the Gemara says, Amar Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Tzadok, kach hayu omrim tagri charach shebushalayim. This is what tagri charach literally means. The vendors of the cracks, or the window vendors of Yerushalayim. Now, if you take a look at the Rashbam says over here, actually look at Rashi, Tigrei Charach, Chenvanim Hayoshvim Eitzel Chalonoseihem. These are the merchants who would sit by their windows, Umochrin, and they would go ahead and sell. Now, where does the word Charach come from? Kimo Meitzitz Minacharakim. So in Shir HaShirim, Shlomo HaMelech writes, he describes Kodesh Baruch Hu as looking between the cracks. So the window sellers, doesn't make sense. The vendors who sat by their windows to go ahead and sell their wares, what would they say? Bo'u tululachem tavlin l'mitzvah. When they wanted to go ahead and sell the ingredients for the charoses, what they would say is, come and purchase for yourself the spices for the mitzvah. So we'll say it comes out of something very interesting. No one is saying that obviously the charoses is an obligation. But interestingly enough, the shaila is, does it just simply serve a utilitarian purpose of neutralizing the aras, this negative, this detrimental juice within the chasa? So therefore it's really just there to help you, to enable you to fulfill the mitzvah of maror. Or does it have its own independent symbolic value of either zecher letapuach, to remind us of the apple trees under which the women gave birth, or to go ahead and remind us of, or to remind us of the mortar with which the people used to build the bricks in Mitzrayim? So that's the fundamental machlokis in the Mishnah as to what is the role of charoses at the Seder. And the truth is, the simple answer could be both, right? Remember that they're really not mutually exclusive, except you understand that you can have multiple nafkaminas. Okay, so says the Mishnah. Mazgulokos sheni. If they poured him a second cup, the kan haben shoel aviv. So here they pour him a second cup, and what happens? And here the father goes ahead, the son asks his father. So this is referring over here to the manishtana. Vim ein das baben. But again, if the child doesn't have the intellect to ask, meaning ask on his own, then Aviv Malamdo, his father teaches him. And what does his father teach him? Ma nishtana halayla hazeh mikol halaylos. How is this night different from all other nights? I'm not going to say it in Yiddish. Shebechol halaylos anu ochlin. Because right, in all other nights we eat chametzu matzah. We eat chametzu matzah. Halayla hazeh. But tonight, kula matzah, we eat all matzah. Question number two. Shebechol halaylos anu ochlin sha'ar yirakos. On all other nights, we eat all kinds of vegetables. Halayla hazeh maror. But tonight, there's a specific mitzvah to eat maror. Shebechol halaylos, we'll say, we don't have this one. Not yet, at least. Shebechol halaylos anu ochlin basar tzli shalok umavusha. On all other nights, we eat meat roasted, stewed, cooked. Remember, there's a reference to halayla hazeh, but tonight, kulo tzli. So we'll say again, this question, of course, is in effect at the times of the Beis HaMikdash. Halavim Hirim Amin will have it soon, because the Karan Pesach was only consumed in a state of being roasted and not in any other way. So the kid asks, why is that? Number three, Shebechol Halilos. And I will say here, there are different girsos of this question. We'll just read it. Ein anu chayavim l'tabel afilu pam achos. We're only obligated, or we are only obligated to go ahead and dip once. Halayla hazeh shtei pa'amim. Tonight we have to dip twice. Tonight, I will say, you'll notice what's missing from this list? Misubin, right? The reclining. Why? Because remember, again, we ask why on this night, kulano misubin, why do we recline? didn't ask that question sometimes in the Mishnah. Why? Because
Mm-hmm.
people always ate reclining. That was not an aberration for their Suda. So the Gemara goes on, the Mishnah goes on, Ulefi da'ato shel ben, and in accordance with the intellect of the child, Aviv Malamdo, his father teaches him. So we'll say, what the Mishnah is highlighting is something fascinating, that this is not a one-size-fits-all dynamic, that the whole idea of the night is is to convey to your child the essence of servitude and redemption. Because the essence is conveyance from parent to child, that looks different for every parent and every child. And as such, again, lemaisa, it depends on the das of the child. Maschil beginus, we begin with ginus, we begin with, ginus literally means the disparaging parts. We'll discuss in the Gemara what that means. Umesayim b'shevach, but we end with shevach, with praise. If you take a look, look at the Rashba for just one moment. Ulefi da'ato shel ben ha'aviv malamdo, the second wide line. So the Rashbam writes, in Mavin Harbe, Yifarei Shakol, if the child understands everything, then explain everything. Or in other words, what it's saying over here is the most important thing of the Seder is that it shouldn't be overlooked. We'll say, you know, sometimes it's an interesting dynamic. Sometimes less is more. You know, what ends up happening sometimes in a Seder is people go ahead and, you know, they come to the table mamish with the whole binder of Divrei Torah, and it's wonderful and it's beautiful, except when the kids are falling asleep because, you know, everybody's going on with their Divrei Torah. It's very nice, except it's not the essence of the night. The essence of the night is to convey the entire dynamic to one's child. And sometimes that means doing it simply, doing it directly, and doing it in a way that moves, that keeps the child. You know, if you have 25 different Torah halach ma'anya, so it's great, and it's very interesting maybe for the adults, but more often than not, the kids are not exceptionally engaged. So here what the Mishnah is sensitizing us to in a number of different ways is know your child, and therefore know how to properly convey this information to your child.
It's the kids with the binders, and the parents are falling asleep.
Right, so that's Niskatan Ladoros, unfortunately. Yes, that could be. So the Gemara says, well, at least the adult could force himself to stay up. So says the Mishnah, so we begin again with the difficult parts, disparaging parts, and we end with Shevach, with praise. The Domresh me arami oved avi, and we begin from Arami Oved Avi. Now, I will say, interestingly enough, Arami Oved Avi is the section that we call Mikra Bikurim. There's a whole section in Devarim that speaks about, again, the psukim that we say when we bring the Bikurim. When you bring the Bikurim, we call our first fruits. So essentially what you do when you bring the Bikurim is you give a little synopsis of Jewish history. So we actually say that in the Haggadah. Now, why we choose that section? Now, again, so it starts from Arami Oved Avi. There's an interesting machlokes from a farshim as to who the Arami is. Let's assume for a moment. So some say it's Avraham Avinu, some say it's Yaakov Avinu. So truth is, most of the farshim seem to say that it's Yaakov Avinu. Arami obeyed Avi. The Arami tried to destroy. See, again, it depends how you translate the phrase. You could translate it as, my father was a wandering Aramean. Oved means like lost in path, and that refers to Avraham Avinu. Or Arami obeyed Avi, an Aramean tried to destroy my father. Then that's a reference to Yaakov and Lavan. Either way, it's a section that begins with the Avos, takes us all the way through the Egyptian experience, entry into Eretz Yisrael, and essentially ends off with the farmer saying, and here I am bringing the first fruits of Israel. Now, we don't say that last part in the Haggadah, we just use the historical snapshot. Achim or Kalapar Shakul, and we say the entire section. Says the Gemara, Tanar Abanan, Chacham, Beno Shalom. So what does the Braisa say? If the child is intelligent, the child is wise, so ultimately the son will ask the questions. But if the child is not wise, then ishto shu'alto. So also meaning, if let's say my son can't ask me the questions for whatever the reason, so in that case my wife will ask me the questions. Now what does this mean? The whole setup of the Pesach Seder is question answer. So therefore, again, somebody's got to ask the manishtana. Ideally, you want it to be the child. But if the child is not going to do it, then it's going to be the wife. Ve'im lav. And if the wife is not going to do it, hu shali atzmo. Talk to yourself. Right? Ask yourself the questions. Ve'apilu shnei tamidi chachamim shiodim hilchos ha-pesach. And even if you have two great Torah scholars who are having the Seder together and they know everything, nevertheless, shalin zelazet. They still ask the questions. Fine. So the Gemara says, Man ishtana halayla hazeh mikol halilos. Shebechol halilos anu matbilin. Afilu anu matbilin pa'am achos. Halayla hazeh shtei pa'amim. So if you notice already over here, the Gemara has a different girsa of this question than the Mishnah. So according to the Gemara's girsa, this question is, why is this night different than all of the nights? On all of the nights, we only dip once. Tonight, we dip twice. So the Gemara says, Maskif la Rabba. So Rabba says, 1 second, what's going on over here? Atu kol yoma. Now, Rav is bothered by the question because the way the Gemara quotes the question is, on all other nights we dip once. Tonight we dip twice. Rav says, 1 second. Who says you're dipping once every other night? Meaning, why do you make that assumption that on all other nights you're dipping once and tonight we know you dip twice, but why presuppose that every other night everybody's dipping once? This is what it means to say. Rather, what it means is the following. On all other nights, we are not obligated to go ahead and dip even once. See, he changes the lashon. But tonight, we are obligated twice. So listen to this, Rav saying, Maskif l'Rav Safra. Or Rav Safra did not like that lashon. Why? Are you making it sound to the children that there's an obligation to dip? Now, what does that mean? Look at the Rashbam, Rabosai. It's 3 lines up from the bottom in the Rashbam on the bottom. Chiyuva ledardiki pitmia hamishum hekeira detinokos kedeshishlu abdinan. Rabosai, we will see this later on. But why do we dip on the night of the Seder? So here's what's interesting. It's based on the previous sugya. There's a number of reasons why we dip. So on the basic level, the Gemara seems to be saying what? That Lamaisa we dip, why? Because of the kafa, right? Because of this negative poisonous stuff that's within the chasa. But the truth is, the Gemara is saying, leaving that aside, why do we dip? We dip kidei sheyishla tinokos. As we mentioned yesterday, and as we saw on Shabbos, is that there's a whole series of practices that we engage in at the Pesach Seder that have one reason only, and that's to intrigue the children, to make it, to do stuff that looks strange, in order to encourage the children to ask. So what Rav Papa comes, Rav Safra says is, 1 second. If you phrase it, on all other nights, we don't even have an obligation to dip once. Tonight, we have an obligation to dip twice. Obligation makes it sound like what? That this practice has some deeper halachic meaning. But says Rav Safra, it doesn't. It doesn't have deeper halachic meaning. It's there for one reason and one reason only, to get you to ask. That's it. So don't use the lashon of chiyuv. Therefore, el amar av safra, this is what we should say, halachi katani, ein anu matbilin afilu pamachos, halayla hazeh shtei pa'amim. So if Safra says, instead, let's make the best lashon. The best lashon is, shebechol halaylos ein anu matbilin afilu pamachos, on all other nights, we don't even dip once. So we'll say, what does that accomplish? Both things. Number one, what it tells you is what? That another night, sometimes what? You don't dip at all. And then tonight, it doesn't use the lashon of chiyuv. Instead, what does it just say? But tonight, we dip twice, but it doesn't use the lashon of obligation in order not to convey an erroneous impression that the dippings of the Lil HaSeder are actually obligatory in nature. Good. We'll say, and just, you should, I mean, just understand, this is the verb. Just amazing. This is the version we have to this very day, Rav Safra. So now this year, you're going to remember this. Here's your first Dvar Torah for the Lel Seder. And this is going because it's short and sweet. Right, so again, now you understand that the Manashtana of Matbilin that we say is Rav Safra's question. That's what we say to this very day. So the Gemara goes weiter. Maschil beginus umesayim b'shevach. So the Mishnah explained that the Haggadah follows a framework. And the framework is, we begin with genus. We begin ultimately again with the negative, disparaging parts, but we end off with shevach. We end off with praise. So my genus, what does this mean? I was like, genus is a very strong word, because genus literally means like degradation, disparaging. So what does that mean? Rav Amar metchila avodas gilulim hayu avosenu. So Rav says, because we begin the Maggid section with what? With Mitchila of the Avodah Zarah Hayu Avosim. That in the beginning, our forefathers were idolaters. Now, who is that referring to? So that's referring to Adam Avinu. That Adam Avinu, again, remember, we'll say it's a fundamental machlokis between between the Rambam and the Raivin as to when Avraham Avinu ultimately recognized that Kadosh Baruch Hu. Was it 3 years old? Was it 40 years old? But here's one part that's clear, is that Avraham Avinu definitely spent some part of his life worshipping idolatry, just like everybody else in his locale at that time. So Rav says that we begin by talking about the fact that we're idolaters. And that's the Ginus. That's the Ginus. Ushmul Amar Shmuel says, Avodim Hayinu. Shmuel says, no, we know what the Ginus is. The Ginus is that we were slaves. They both say, it's interesting, Rabbi Lau, in his Haggadah, points out that the fundamental machlokus is, everyone agrees you have to start with the low point. That's what Ginus means. Start with the low point of the Jewish people. The question is, do you begin with the physical low point or the spiritual low point? So the physical low point is what? Avadim Hayinu, we were slaves. The spiritual low point is what? Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoseinu. We were idolaters. So what do we do, Lamaisa? What do we do, Lamaisa? We actually do both. Right? We actually say Avadim, we start with Avadim Hayinu, and then we go right into Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoseinu. So we actually discuss both. We take both Ginusim, Ginusai, Ginus, or we take both Ginuses in English, like both Ginuses. So the Gemara goes right there. The Gemara says, Amarlei Rav Nachman Ledora Avdi. Rav Nachman said to Daru, his servant, Daru was an Eved Kenani. Daru was a Gentile servant, a Canaanite servant. And look what he said. So apparently he was at the Seder as well. So he said to him, Tell me, Daru, Avda Demafikli Mar Lechirus. Daru, if your master were to release you, servant who has a master releases him, and he gives him silver and gold. My boy, what should the servant say to the master? And Daru said, So Daru said, such a servant should go ahead and give thanks and praise his master. So Rav Nachman said to Daru, you have exempted us from saying manishtana. Pasach va'amar avadim hayinu. And he went right into avadim hayinu, meaning the fact that essentially what Rav Nachman was saying is, Daru, you set the table for the evening. Because we also understand what happened over there. What Rav Nachman was doing is sometimes Pesach Seder is a little bit abstract to us. So therefore, what did he do? He said to Daru, tell me, you're a slave, you're a servant. How would you relate to this experience? And Daru said, I'll tell you exactly what, if I was freed and I was given wealth, here's what I would do. Rav Nachman said, exactly. That's what we're trying to do this evening as well. Manishtana is a setup. Manishtana is a staged question-answer period to get you into the moment of beginning to relive the Exodus narrative. Rav Nachman said, we just heard from Basar Adam. We just heard from a servant. What's appropriate to do if you're freed? We don't even need to go to Manishtana. He went right into Avadim Hayinu. Says the Mishnah, Rabbi Gamliel Haya Omer. Rabbi Gamliel used to say, Ko Shlo Amar, Shlosha Dvarim, Amabe, Shlosha Dvarim, Eluba Pesach, Lo Yotzi Dechavasa. Anyone who did not say these three things on Pesach has not satisfied his obligation. And these are they, the Elohim, Pesach, Matzah, Umarar. You have to say these three things, and if you don't say them, Lemaisi, you're not Yotz. And I will say again, interesting. What exactly it means, lo yotze yedei chavasa, you're not yotze. You're not yotze what? You're not yotze Pesach Matzah Maror. You're not yotze the Seder. So we'll have to come back to that question. So the Gemara says, so now the Gemara goes through each of these things. Pesach Ashum, why do we have the Pesach? Ashum she Pesach hamokom abate avosini b'mitzrayim. So the Pesach is symbolic of the fact that what? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu literally skipped over, passed over our homes in Egypt. Shene Emar. Va'amartem, Zevach Pesach Hu LaHashem, Asher Pesach. Because what happens, the Torah says, that you will say, this is a Zevach Pesach, this is an offering of a Pesach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he skipped over our homes during Makos Pechoros, during the plague of during the last of the 10 Makos, where he killed out the firstborn Egyptians, and we were commanded to stay in our home, and literally he passed over our home. So it says an interesting Yisod. Karan Pesach itself has many symbolisms. Karan Pesach itself represents theological supremacy, because ultimately, again, remember the lamb was the deity of one of the deities of the Egyptians. But also for this purpose, Rabbi Gamliel says the Pesach represents the fact that in the time where there was acute danger, HaKadosh Baruch Hu spared us from that danger. He passed over our house. That's the symbolism of the Pesach. Matzah. Why do we go and eat matzah? Ashum. Shenigalu avosim mitzrayim. We eat matzah. Why? Because our forefathers were redeemed from Egypt. And Rabosai, not just redeemed from Egypt, but what? Redeemed from Egypt in a very hasty fashion. So fast that what? That there wasn't even time for the dough to rise. Of course, Rabosai, we know the interesting part about matzah is we were commanded to eat matzah even before we left Egypt. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu was foreshadowing what was going to occur. Ultimately, it's going to be a very hasty departure. You're not going to have time to go out and bake off your bread. So it's not, we conventionally think of it as, you know, we ate matzah because that night they didn't have time. We knew already we weren't going to have time. But nevertheless, the symbolism of the matzah is that redemption takes place so quickly that there's not even enough time to bake off the bread. Shene'emar, bayofos habotzek asher otzi mimitzrayim. Maror, why do we eat maror? We eat more. Why? Because the Egyptians embittered the lives of our forefathers in Egypt. They made our lives bitter. In every generation, a person is obligated to see himself as if he left Egypt. Because the pasuk says, "Vigarta lebincha bayomahu lemor ba'avur zeh." Aso Hashem li b'tzeisim Mitzrayim. So how do I know? So now Rabbi said, the Mishnah introduces what is perhaps the most important concept of the entire Leil HaSeder. If I spend the night to the wee hours of the morning conveying a story that happened to someone else, I have not discharged my obligation. My obligation is to view myself as a character in the story, to view myself as if, bless you. As if I was enslaved, and then I was redeemed. I have to view it as a personal experience. Shnei Emarim, where does the Mishnah get this? Because the pasuk says, "V'garata l'bin chavayomahu leimor." You will tell your child on this day, saying, "Ba'avor zeh," because of this. Now we'll see what the zeh actually refers to: matzah, Pesach, matzah, and maror. Because of this, aso Hashem li, God has done for me, b'tzeisim mitzrayim, that I have left Egypt. So we see that in retelling the Exodus narrative to one's child, one has to experience these events as if they actually happened to me. Therefore, again, Rabosai, so now there's a progression. If I view the events, if I view that I have actually experienced and been the beneficiary of the events of the Exodus, what's the natural next step? Lefichach, therefore, anu chayavim, anachnu chayavim. Therefore, if I view myself as an actual beneficiary, therefore what? Anachnu chayavim lahodos lahalel lishabeach lefayer l'romim lahadir l'varech lele l'kalis. Therefore, I will say, if I view myself as an actual beneficiary, I view myself as someone who has actually left Egypt and has been redeemed, I'm obligated to go ahead and give thanks and to give praise and to exalt and to glorify and to bless and to uplift lemi sha'asa la'avoseinu velanu es kolanisim ha'ilu, to the one who has done for me and to my forefathers all of these miracles. What are these miracles? Hotzianu me'avdus l'chirus. He took me out. He took us out from servitude to freedom. Miyago l'simcha, from sadness to joy. Me'evel yom tov, from morning to a yom tov. U'me'afela li'orgada, from darkness to great light. Umishibud l'geula, and from servitude to redemption. V'nomar l'fonav, hallelujah. And therefore we should say before, we should like drink a l'chaim or something. It feels empty that we're not, it's fine. I have it. Pay attention. Therefore, we should give out. So we'll say again, you understand that how also, first of all, I can't say enough. Isn't it amazing? Then I'm going to have, when we come to the Pesach Seder, when we say this, Mamish, for 1,500 years, we've been saying the same thing. We get to say the words Mamish that are right brought down in the Mishnah. But you see the progression. All of this, you see, the part that people miss at the Pesach Seder is the whole thing only works if you feel like you experienced it yourself. If I read this as a story that happened to someone else, then by definition, it's very hard to get into it. Because I'm reading about a historical account. It's very interesting. But in reality, it doesn't have anything to do with me. It's a progression. It's only if I feel that mamish, I was redeemed, then what? Then I could get into this shira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because if I was saved, then of course, I have to praise the one who saved me. He goes on.
What about the language? You say it in English.
You could say it in English. Of course, 100%. A person could definitely say the entire Haggadah in any language that you want. And better than that, 100%, whatever language will make the greatest impression on you, that's what you should say. The brachos we try to say in Hebrew, because again, brachos try to make, but even brachos, if you make it in a different language, you're 1,000%. You could do the entire Haggadah from beginning to end in English, absolutely. At my Seder, so I encourage people, we try to give everybody a chance to be part of the Haggadah, say it in English. Don't break your teeth on the Hebrew. Don't. That's not the Haggadah. That was the Haggadah reenactment, for those who didn't know what I was doing. Right? So, good. I guess the man was like chuckling, and great. What did you say? No idea, but it felt good. That's 100%. That's not Pesach Seder. Any language is going to make a greatest impression on you. That'll be the last reenactment for this morning. This is a dramatization. So the Mishnah goes on. He says, "Ad heichanu ofer." So now what the Mishnah is asking over here is, we know that interestingly enough, one of the things that happens at the Leil HaSeder is we break up Hallel. So we do part of Hallel before the Suda in Magid, and part of Hallel after the Suda. So the question is, how much of Hallel do you say in the first part of Magid prior to the meal? So we have Machlokes Beisham Beisal Beisham Omrim Ad Ema Banim Smecha. So Beisham says only the first paragraph. Ubeis Hillel Omrim Ad Chalomish Lemay Nomay, which is the end of Beis Yisrael. So Beis Hillel says first two paragraphs. And Rabbos said we paskin like Beis Hillel. We say the first two paragraphs in Hallel prior to the Suda. The Chosim Bigu'ula. And Rabbos said again, we have a beautiful bracha that concludes the Magid section of the Haggadah. And what is it? Rabbi Tarfon Omer, literally the Mishnah says, we end off with Gula. What is this bracha? Rabbi Tarfon says, Asher Ga'alar, the bracha is God. Bracha Tashon Kirim Alecholam. HaKadosh Baruch, you are the source of all blessing. Asher Ga'alar, who has redeemed us, Ve'galas Avosena, you have redeemed our forefathers, Mimisai from Egypt, Veloha Yechosin. But interesting enough, in Rabbi Tarfon's Asher Ga'alanu, that was the bracha. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Asher Ga'alanu, has redeemed us and has redeemed our forefathers from Egypt. Amen. That's it. Rabbi Kiva says, no, there's more to the bracha. Kein Hashem Elokeinu Elokei Avosenu, so to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our God of our forefathers, Yagi'enu L'mo'adim U'l'regalim Achirim. You should bring us to see other joyous events. Habo'im Likrasinu L'shalom. That will come to greet us in a state of peace. Smeichim avinyan irecha, let us rejoice in the building of your city. V'sasim ba'avodah secha, and let us be happy in your avodah. V'no chasham, and of course this is always wonderful, because what's a city without a little bit of confusion? V'no chasham min apsachim, min azvachim, min azvachim, min apsachim. Right, which one should we say? We'll discuss actually again what the right order is. We'll eat there from the Karba Pesach, from the Zvachim. Ad Baruch Ato Hashem Ga'al Yisrael. So both say, you see Rabbi Akiva has a much, much lengthier bracha, both in text, as well as the fact that because this is what we call a bracha arichta, a long bracha, it runs off with another bracha, Baruch Ato Hashem Ga'al Yisrael. And Rabbi say, how do we paskin? We paskin like both. We have a merger of the bracha of Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva, and that is our present day bracha of Asher Ga'alanu. Amazing. Says the Gemara. Amar Rava says, "Sarach Shiyomar va'osano hotzi misham." So Rava says very interesting. So the Mishnah said, "Chayiv adam liros esatzmo kili yatzem mitzrayim." That a person is obligated to see himself as if he left Egypt. So Rava said that a person literally has to make the statement, "Va'osano hotzi misham." I have to say those words, right? So, I mean, all the Mishnah said is conceptually, I have to go ahead and see as if I was redeemed from Egypt. Rava says, no, it's not enough to just think that. You actually have to say the words, "God took me out from there." Amar Rava, matzah tzarech lagbia. So Rava said, you have to pick up the matzah when you speak about it. Umaror tzarech lagbia. You have to pick up the maror when you speak about it. Basr ain't tzarech lagbia. But when you get to the meat, now Rav is already talking about over here, like our type of seder, but we don't have Karan Pesach anymore. But instead, what we have is we have a roasted piece of meat to symbolize the Karan Pesach. So Rav says, pick up matzah zu, pick it up. Maror zu, pick it up. Pesach zu, don't pick it up. Why? Sachi's lashons ain't sarach lag bia. You don't have to go ahead and pick it up. So then he goes on, v'lo od. No, no, no. It's not just that you don't have to, but rather what? You really should not. Why? But rather, again, picking it up actually has the appearance that what? That you may actually be vesting this type of, this meat, with actual sacrificial sanctity, which is problematic. Again, not our time, we're not going to get into it right now, but there is an interesting discussion. You can vest an animal with sacrificial sanctity. You can do that. If you do it, it's a big, big problem in terms of what you're supposed to do with the animal, but technically speaking, you can. Therefore, we're very nervous to do anything that looks like we're vesting meat or an animal with sacrificial sanctity. Therefore, when we do Pesach Zu, not only do we not lift it, but what? You know, our minhag is, we don't even point to it. We don't even point to it. In fact, again, that's why many have the custom not even to eat roasted meat on the night. That's a custom, because some communities never had that custom. But I think it's a pretty well-accepted custom that you don't eat roasted meat on the night of a Seder. That shouldn't appear that one is going ahead and eating Karban Pesach. Interesting machlokes in Minhagim, does it apply to chicken or not? Many have the custom not even to eat roasted chicken, not to eat any kind of roasted meat on the night of meat or fowl on the night of a Seder. But again, there are different customs for that. So he goes weiter. Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, Suma Pater Min Lomar Hagada. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov has an amazing statement. He says someone who is blind is pater from reciting the Hagada. Where does he get that from? Ksiv Hacha Ba'avur Zeh. Because the pasuk says by we use actually the pasuk we quoted before, Ba'avur Zeh Aso Hashem Li Pitzei Simi Mitzrayim. Because of this. God, this is the pasuk from Maggid that we quoted before. Uksiv Hasam, and it says by Ben Sorer Umore Benenu Zeh. We'll say, so Ben Sorer Umore is the rebellious child. So the Torah says that when the parents bring their son to the Beis Din, they say Benenu Zeh. Now the Gemara, this son, now the Gemara darshins by Benenu Zeh, Prat Lusma Lahalan Prat Lusuma, Afkan Prat Lusuma. I'll say the Gemara darshins that by Ben Sorer Umore, if either of the parents are blind, they cannot bring their son up on these Ben Sorer Umore charges. And the way the Gemara says, Benenu Zeh. Zeh almost represents an identification. This son, which requires sight. So, interesting enough, Rav Acha Bar Yaakov is making an interesting Gzer Shava. He's just like Zeh, by Ben Sorer Umore requires sight. So, sort of Rav Acha Bar Yaakov says, so too by Pesach, Ba'avur Zeh, only if you could actually see the items to which you are referring, Pesach, Matzu, Maror. Is there an obligation? But if you're blind, you don't have an obligation. So the Gemara says, "Malalan prat lusum." How can prat lusumin? Gemara says, "Ini, is that true?" V'ha'amar mereimar. But mereimar said, "Shaltinu l'rabbanan debei Rav Yosef." And I asked the rabbis of the house of Rav Yosef, "Man da'amar agarta debei Rav Yosef." We'll say Rav Yosef was blind. Rav Yosef was blind. So mereimar asked the members of Rav Yosef's household, "Tell me, who in Rav Yosef's house used to read the Haggadah?" Rav Yosef, apparently, in the times of the Gemara, the minhag was one person said the Haggadah and everyone else listened. And they were Yosef with his recitation, like Shomea Ka'ona. So they asked, who said the Haggadah in the house of Rav Yosef? And apparently, Amru, Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, Rav Yosef was blind. So what do you see? In the house of Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef was still singing the Haggadah. Apparently, Rav Yosef felt that what? That even though he was blind, he was still obligated in Haggadah. Because Rav Yosef, remember, you can't be Motzi someone else if you are not obligated in that. Furthermore, Mi Aman Do'amar Agarat HaBei Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes was also blind. So who used to say the Haggadah in the house of Rav Sheshes? Amru, Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes used to say it. So what do you see? That here, even these blind Rabbanim, we're still saying the Haggadah on behalf of everyone else, which indicates that what? That even if a person is blind, they are still obligated in the Haggadah, in the mitzvos of the night. These rabbis held matzah bisman hazed dirabanan. They held that matzah was dirabanan. And because it was dirabanan, even they as blind people could still go ahead and be motzi others. Michlal, Rav Acha Bar Yaakov sover matzah bisman hazed doraisa. Is that to say that Rav Acha Bar Yaakov said that a blind person is not obligated in these particular obligations held that matzah is daraisa. The heart of Achar Yaakov, who the Amar matzah b'zman hazeh d'rabbanon. Rachar Yaakov said that matzah in this time is d'rabbanon. Kasavar called the tikkun rabbanon kein daraisa tikkun. Oh, because he held that anything that the rabbis instituted, they gave it the power of a daraisa. So the Gemara says, so Rav Sheshes, Rav Yosef, Nami havadai called the tikkun rabbanon kein daraisa tikkun. But Rav Sheshes, Rav Yosef would also hold of that. And yet what? And yet they're still the ones who said the Haggadah in their households. To which the Gemara says, Hachi hashta, no, no, no. Here's what it comes down to. Hachi hashta bishlam ahasam midahavile lemichtav b'neinu hu. Uksiv b'neinu zeh, shmamina prat l'sumin. Rabosai, by ben sorer umora, the Torah could have used a different lashon. The Torah could have used lashon of what? B'neinu hu, this son of ours. This son of ours, and the Torah, and that would have made sense. The parents are saying, this son of ours did these things. But yet the Torah uses another lashon, which is what? B'neinu zeh, this son. Rabosai, zeh, zeh has a connotation of identification. This one that we're pointing out right now, which has a connotation that what parents possess what? Sight. And if the parents don't possess sight, then they can't go. So what the Gemara is saying is the way we learn that out is because the Torah could have used another lashon. It could have said b'neinu hu, but instead it chooses to say b'neinu zeh, which tells us that the Torah is dafka makbid on parental sight, that the parents have the ability to see the child whom they are bringing up on these ben sorim or charges. But, shmamina prat l'sumin, therefore the Torah is coming to exclude blind parents from bringing their child up on these charges. However, aval hacha, ilav ba'avur zeh, my lichtov. So I'll say, the Gemara says, I don't understand, but by Pesach, what would you want the pasuk to say? Torah says, ba'avur zeh, asa Hashem li b'tzeisim zeh. Now, what is the zeh? We'll expand this later on, but b'pashas, what we're saying over here, ba'avur zeh, because of Pesach, Matzah, and Maror. Or in other words, Rashbam points out, Ba'avor zeh means, in the schus of the fact that I agreed to perform mitzvos, Aso Hashem li b'tzei simim Mitzrayim. Why did God take us out, Rabosai? God didn't take, to be honest, God didn't take us out to be free. Remember, what we did when we left Egypt is, we swapped one master for another. We swapped Pharaoh for God. We just got the better end of the deal, Baruch Hashem. But ultimately, that's what Ba'avur Zeh. Zeh means God didn't take us out to do whatever we want. God took us out for a life of service. That's the Zeh. The Zeh represents the mitzvos. So what else should the pasuk say? There's no other way to write the pasuk. So because there's no other way to write the pasuk, my lichtob, Ela, Ba'avur Matzah Umaruhu Da'asa. So therefore, what the Gemara is just simply saying is, the reason you could exclude parents who are blind by Ben Sormor, because the pasuk could have been written a different way. It could have said B'neinu Hu. If it says B'neinu Zeh, it's there to exclude the parents who are blind. By Karl Pesach, you can't make, by Pesach, you can't make that same drasha. Why? Because there was no other way to write the pasuk. The pasuk is trying to convey to us that L'maisa, Ba'avor Zeh, in the schus of the mitzvot's performance, adherence to the mitzvot, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out, and therefore, again, it doesn't come to exclude blind people from the mitzvah of Haggadah, the Haraya, Rav Sheshes, and Rav Yosei were both blind, and yet clearly demonstrated the fact that even the blind are obligated in the mitzvot's halayla. I suppose it was that over here. I was like, tomorrow morning, we're going to start at 5:45, only because it's a very long daf. So Mirz, we'll start at 5:45, and Mirz Hashem will finish the daf in its entirety.
When we say Zeh Keli Gan Beza, we say it's Mashma Zeh also.
Zeh also.
What would be alternative be there? This morning.
Computer wouldn't work on to the internet. It worked for us, that's my fault. Oh, the audio works.